I've been to heaven. It was before I was seven. Maybe I was five. And maybe I was four. And I've been to hope. And there I learned to cope. And play guitar.
Feature story
Andre?
News in London,
Thank you.
Dan Whitehead. The Israeli military says it has withdrawn its troops from the Gaza Strip to defensive positions, saying it has completed its aim of destroying tunnels belonging to the militant group Hamas. A 72-hour truce, which was brokered by Egyptian mediators on Monday, is in force. It's reported the four-week conflict has killed 1,800 Palestinians and around 67 Israelis. Matthew Kalman, a foreign correspondent based in Jerusalem, says it could be a turning point in the conflict.
What we're seeing is the emergence of some sort of new climate in the Middle East, with Egypt and Saudi Arabia both staying very quiet on the sidelines, even tacitly helping and encouraging Israel to destroy Hamas. This might pave the way to some sort of international peacekeeping force in Gaza, new elections, and possibly the return of a Palestinian government led by Mahmoud Abbas, and then on to peace talks, but that's obviously sometime in the future.
The UN says the number of people fleeing the war in eastern Ukraine to other parts of the country has gone up from 2,600 to more than 102,000 in just 2 months. It says more than 1,000 people are leaving the conflict zone between Ukrainian forces and Russian rebels every day. Japan has added further individuals and companies to its list of sanctions against Russia for its alleged role in the ongoing violence in eastern Ukraine. Russia's foreign ministry has branded the new sanctions unfriendly. Jake Rashbass reports from Moscow.
The most recent Japanese sanctions have targeted two energy companies based in Crimea, the Black Sea Peninsula, that the West has accused Russia of annexing from Ukraine earlier this year. Japan has also frozen the assets of 40 individuals, including officials from Crimea, as well as officials from the self-proclaimed pro-Russian Donetsk People's Republic. Japan was the last G7 member state to apply sanctions against Russia. Moscow has declared Japan's move short-sighted and has accused it of being based on a deeply mistaken view about the real causes of what is happening in Ukraine.
A German court has agreed to drop bribery charges against Formula One magnate Bernie Ecclestone after he offered to pay $100 million. Settling a bribery case, though, with a cash payment has raised some eyebrows. Ira Spitzer reports from Berlin.
The 83-year-old British billionaire was charged with bribing a German banker 8 years ago in a transaction linked to selling a large stake in the motorsport business. Ecclestone has been on trial in Munich since March. German criminal law permits discretionary judgment for a fine or community service if the gravity of the wrongdoing warrants it. However, $100 million is the highest amount ever paid out in this manner and raises the issue of whether Ecclestone simply bought his way out of the case. Ecclestone had faced up to 10 years in jail and would have had to give up control of Formula One, which he has built up for over 40 years.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. Tests are continuing to determine whether a patient in a New York City hospital has the deadly Ebola virus. It comes as a second American infected with Ebola is due to arrive at a special unit in the state of Georgia to begin treatment. Nick Harper reports from New York.
The man arrived at Mount Sinai Hospital on the east side of New York's Central Park with a high fever and gastrointestinal symptoms. Extra precautions are being taken due to the fact he's just returned from West Africa. Tests are being carried out by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. However, hospital officials in New York are allaying fears by saying it is unlikely the man has Ebola. Even so, he's in strict isolation, and the hospital has said all necessary steps are being taken to ensure patient, visitor, and staff safety.
And don't forget, you can see more stories from our reporters around the world on our reporters' blog. Just go to featurestorynews.com. Scots are being promised their parliament will be granted more powers if Scotland votes to stay part of the UK in next month's independence referendum. The leaders of all three of the main political parties in Westminster are publishing a joint declaration backing the strengthening of the Scottish parliament. Our UK correspondent Ollie Barrett reports.
Prime Minister David Cameron, his deputy Nick Clegg and opposition Labour leader Ed Miliband are setting out plans to boost powers at Holyrood as swiftly as possible after 2015's general election, if Scotland is still part of the UK. They promised to strengthen the Scottish Parliament's responsibility for tax and social security. Scottish First Minister Alex Salmond, campaigning for independence, says the declaration is simply a rehash of old and vague promises. Scotland votes on whether to become independent on the 18th of September. The latest polls continue to give a lead to the campaign to keep Scotland in the UK.
And that's the latest from Feature Story News, Dan Whitehead reporting.
Good morning. I am Landside Lauren, your host for the End of the World News at CITR 101.9. Once again, this is a pre-recorded episode. I, Landside Lauren, am frolicking British Columbia these days, camping and festivaling. So I will be sharing with you snippets of my adventures as well as an attempt at pre-recorded episodes. So here's my greatest shot. I hope you are enjoying the heat and staying hydrated. I spent some time on Cortez Island, and as I said last week, if you haven't been, it's absolutely glorious. It's actually a very small island, and of course, people have a very hard time making ends meet. It's a commitment and a sacrifice to live in such a beautiful place. You know, there's very few jobs around. But it was pretty sad to hear. We picked up a hitchhiker, and it was pretty sad to hear that apparently the last year's census showed that they lost 200 young people last year on an island of, actually, I'm not sure what the entire population is, but it's quite small. And so I just wanted to share with you that even on a remote northern Gulf island, people are subject to the ubiquitous force of inequality that our system, our economic system, has brought on. And that is our system that we've decided on. That and economics basically decides who gets what, when, where, and how. And we have the power to change that. Anyhow, kind of sad. A lot of them are going to Alberta, wherever they can find work. Maybe they want to get away as well, so there's always that. So anyway, those are my snippets of thoughts here. Sit back, I'm going to play some tunes for you. It might be a shortened episode this week. I'm going to see how things go. Track listings, once more, are available at endworldnews.tumblr.com, and Tumblr is spelled T-U-M-B-L-R. All the best, enjoy the sun, drink water and electrolytes, and I'll share with you the continuation of my frolicking British Columbia.
Thank you. equations in a tree. Number drift apart. Rain fell on me like a wave. Thank you.
Hello, this is your host, Landslide Lauren. This is a pre-recorded episode here on CITR 101.9 FM. This is your favorite world news program, The End of the World News, this time playing music in a lead-up to many festivals this year, including Base Coast, which just occurred, and SoundCloud. Shambhala was off. I was thinking about SoundCloud and Soundwave. Shambhala Music Festival is coming up this weekend. Very exciting. Lots of friends out there already. Def 3, he's doing the graffiti, lots of it. It's a wonderful festival. Gotten about 10,000 people this year. Really something. And I was thinking about it for anyone who's unfamiliar with an electronic music festival or who is really not too crazy about electronic music in general. One thing to be aware of is that there are 5 stages at Shambhala, and they are all kind of targeted. The audio is tailored for whatever kind of music that stage plays. So there's the beach stage, which is kind of more kind of chilled out music, a little bit more flow, a little bit more kind of liquid drum and bass, that kind of like beach music. And then there's the village stage, which is your dubstep, more trap this year, very loud bass heavy music. And there is Fractal Forest, which is your kind of funk jam, ghetto beats, that kind of stuff. And then we have also the Pagoda stage, which would do more of your kind of house inspired that sort of thing. And all of those stages, of course, are created to really showcase that kind of music. So that's something you don't actually get when you hear electronic music in a club. It's not necessarily tailored for that kind of music, you know, whether just the way that the equalization and all that fancy stuff is done. And also there's also, of course, PK sound systems, which are unbelievable. So despite the incredible loudness, I mean, the decibels, I'm sure, are far, far beyond what the normal ears should ever be subjected to. They are so crisp and clear that you almost feel as if you don't need headphones, although absolutely 100% please wear some kind of ear protection at these festivals. Anyway, that's my little quip about SoundCloud. It is a SoCan week this week, so I'm playing as much Canadian music as I can. Once again, track listings can be found at www.endworldnews.tumblr.com. And I was also just kind of looking something up here. As you know, I do use SoundCloud. My name is Landslide Lauren on SoundCloud, and you can find me and follow me. And an interesting thing is going on with SoundCloud specifically. You can find a lot of music on SoundCloud that is uploaded by just random users, uploading, recordings of tracks, and they're labeled of tracks of Metallica and everything. So it's undergoing currently quite a number of pretty heavy threats. I'm not sure of the kind of update on this status. It's just kind of something that's kind of flowing kind of underneath here. It hasn't created any actual closures of the site or any kind of thing like that, but it's definitely something to keep in mind if you are a SoundCloud user. And that's to do with licensing. So according to Digital Music News, SoundCloud has been getting away with legal murder, and that's something that possibly can't last forever. So according to a pair of sources now speaking with Digital Music News, SoundCloud is engaged in serious licensing discussions for one of the first times with major labels and publishers. That is because SoundCloud has been a major force in the music world for years, and it's unclear why these licensing discussions are starting just now. Currently, again, SoundCloud operates under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, DMCA, loophole, which basically grants immunity to sites with third-party user-uploaded content. So that means that, as I said, that random users can be uploading music from other users. Now, the rules are pretty simple. As long as a process exists to eliminate content that is flagged by the content owner, so say, you know, Metallica, the band, can flag this random user uploading a Metallica track. So long as it can be flagged and then removed, then SoundCloud steers clear of any legal entanglements. The only problem is that rights owners are responsible for notifying SoundCloud each and every time an infraction occurs, which is essentially impossible. But the sources in this case insist there are serious steps that labels can take, and according to one of the sources, major labels are not at all comfortable with the DMCA funny business, unquote, arrangement anymore. Their catalog is all over SoundCloud, and it's essentially too hard to police, they say. But that doesn't mean they won't start, the source relayed. And if you look at what's happening over at Google and YouTube, you have groups like the British Recording Trade Group that really flood Google and YouTube with takedown notices. And you can definitely notice that more and more now, where you can no longer access certain tracks. They have, as you know, you get that funny little face on YouTube that says that this content has been removed, and that is increasingly common. So, critical to the discussion is that Google has a massive legal and staffing resources to help keep labels at bay, ensure legal compliance, and essentially create a separate copyright system that benefits Google. But SoundCloud isn't as big, despite massive tranche of funding of several hundred million. They aren't pulling from a pile of billions, though, which means everything in legal terms. So unlike Google and YouTube, they can be touched. So stay tuned for changes at SoundCloud. I'm really conflicted with this, and I'm something that I'm sure the folks over at the Copyright Experiment, which is a CITR program, have gotten into a little bit more. But I know that if you look at some tracks on SoundCloud, you will notice that they're part of a copyright Creative Commons copyright licensing. So certain artists, if they upload something onto SoundCloud, they say that they want their music to be widely shared so long as they are attributed or recognized for their work. So that's an alternative that is happening currently. But as far as people who want to remain under the current scope of copyright licensing and of course, trying to prevent copyright infringement under its normal regime, under its common regime, then things are certainly undergoing big changes. And because of the shareability of music and how easy it is to upload tracks, anyway, things are changing. So something to keep in mind as we move forward. So here we go. Going to play some more music for you. Again, track listings, endworldnews.tumblr.com. And again, you can find me, Landslide Lauren, on SoundCloud with tracks that are currently available. So we have yet to see. Anyway, stay tuned.
the Cadillac, they crunk, throw it up, dubs on the Cadillac, they crunk, throw it up, dubs on the Cadillac, they crunk, throw it up, dubs on the Cadillac, they crunk, throw it up, dubs on the Cadillac.